Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
And when you hear the words the fourth industrial revolution or industry 4.0, you might think of smart manufacturing, cloud technologies, or even blockchain.
But you know what? There's just one piece of the puzzle. The full picture comprises four foundational technologies, including human-machine interaction, analytics, and advanced engineering.
So without many realizing, in reality, the heart of these technologies are actually human capital.
And that's where the Industry 4.0 Human Capital Initiative, or IHCI program, which is an initiative by the Singapore Business Federation, and it's supported by Workforce Singapore and anchor partners McKinsey and Company, as well as EY, all of this coming into the picture at this time.
Yeah, the program that began in March last year, 2020, is the first in Singapore to focus on equipping companies with people management and job redesign skills required for successful Industry 4.0 transformation.
So you've got an 8-week experiential program. Companies will be equipped with a personalized Industry 4.0 and a human capital transformation roadmap, and all this to kickstart or, you know, perhaps accelerate their implementation of Industry 4.0.
But the question is, why is human capital often overlooked in a company's Industry 4.0 journey? And is it the most difficult part?
Oh, very, very good question. Let's see if we can get some answers from Alpesh Patel, partner and leader, Digital Capability Centers, Asia Pacific, McKinsey and Company. Alpesh, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very well. Thank you.
Alpesh, if you allow me a bit of a fanboy moment, you used to work for Ferrari's Formula One team for 7 years. You were a senior aerodynamicist and you were a regular pundit for Formula One on TV broadcasters, Race Day and Checkered Flag on Fox Sports. Unfortunately, the F1 season's a bit of a delay. But talking about human capital, Alpesh, can I ask firstly, when you were working with Ferrari, who was the lead driver then?
Well, I had a few of the well-known lead drivers. When I started, Michael Schumacher was still around, and I had the chance to have him win his last world title, and the first three seasons were with him. Then I had Kimi Raikkonen, and finally Fernando Alonso.
Okay, interesting mix. And the reason I ask that is because, and we do wish Michael Schumacher well and look forward to seeing his son become as great as his father. Human capital, right? In Formula One, we often look at, oh, it's just the driver, you know, but actually it's hundreds of people behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So how did these drivers behave when it came to human capital? How did they behave, especially Michael Schumacher, how did he behave when it comes to all the people working behind the scenes?
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, what we see in Formula One is, of course, the tip of the pyramid, which is the driver and of course, the team that is on the pit lane in the at the track, which is probably 5-10 people, the team manager, etc. But behind it, it's a huge organization of over 1,000 people. And I think drivers, especially drivers like Michael Schumacher, have a very good understanding that the success doesn't come only from the skills of the top team, but really from everyone. If the organization is not pulling together, then it's extremely difficult to achieve the success that he has been able to achieve. And no one was more aware of it than him, which means spending time with everyone in the organization, understanding their needs and understanding how to make their job easier so that they can deliver a better outcome.
And you know what, Alpesh, actually, that's very indicative of the conversation we need to have about Industry 4.0. You know, I met an aerodynamicist once who, worked for McLaren. but he was explaining aerodynamics to my children when it came to F1. And he said, you take a plane, you turn it upside down and you put it on a road. And that's a massive pivot, isn't it? So in this sense, that I think sometimes is how people feel when you talk to them about Industry 4.0. It's a complete upside down. So I guess it's really encouraging that the government's come up with all these initiatives to help businesses, right?
Absolutely. And I think you were referring to the Singapore Business Federation's IHCI program.
Yeah.
It's the first in Singapore. It's actually, I would say, not many other countries in the world. I would really say that Singapore is probably the first country in the world putting so much emphasis on human capital as a core part of the success for companies to adopt Industry 4.0. And that's because they've understood, I think, that in order to succeed, just having the technology is not enough. The companies really need to have three things. There is a part, of course, that starts with the business. So if you just buy a nice kit of technology, I'm making the analogy with Formula One, you can have the best part, but if that part doesn't fit with the rest of the car, it's not going to give you a good lap time. So you need to have at least an understanding of the return on investment for developing that car, right? Are you going to develop a wing, or are you going to develop the engine? Which one costs you the more, and which one gives you the better lap time? So it's the same for the company. They have to have this business case, and then they need to have the human capital interventions, because once they've decided what to do, who is going to do it is not the CEO, is actually the whole organization. And only the companies that really have put the people at the center of their Industry 4.0 transformation have been successful around the world. There is no exception.
Or even down to the guy who polishes the Formula One car that can shave off microseconds. Alpesh, I'm curious though, before all of this, why were companies facing difficulties in this area? What kind of gap were we talking about here?
So I think you know that Industry 4.0 as a term has been around for nearly 10 years. I think it was mentioned the first time in Hanover in Germany in 2011. And so it's been around, and people have become more aware of what it is about, the four key technologies you mentioned earlier. But I think they have faced basically issues in being able to scale the adoption of Industry 4.0 in companies. Many companies are in what we call a pilot trap. And we run a global survey year after year, and the results remain fairly similar. Around 70-75% of the companies who have trialed Industry 4.0 technologies are falling in what we call this pilot trap. So they do a pilot, the pilot seems to be working, but then they do another pilot, and then a third pilot in different parts of their organization. So one pilot can be a dashboard, the next one can be a robot, but they fail to scale it up and make it part of their system. That is the core, the crux of the problem.
Okay, so you can answer, we can all understand, and you've already outlined why, you know, just having the human element is so important to bring all of these different threads together. But why is it so often overlooked when it comes to the transformation journey? Especially when we talk about things like digitalization, there's a jump in a mindset, isn't there, that, oh, somehow, you know, I, the worker, am not involved in that. But you have to be.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the core elements, there are really two aspects, right? The first one I've already mentioned is most companies, even when they get this right at the top level in the organization and they think Industry 4.0 is a priority for the company, they still look at this as a technology exercise. As I mentioned earlier, that's a big problem. They need to look at it in a holistic way, the business case, the technology, and of course, the human capital. But then even those who understand that and go then try to develop the organization and make sure that people are on board, they need to debunk a number of myths. As you've highlighted, Industry 4.0 is characterized by those technologies, right? The data and IoT, the human-machine interaction, advanced analytics, advanced engineering. That's quite scary, right? If you're on the front line, if you're a supervisor, even if you are a process engineer, you see those new technologies coming in and you're wondering, is my job going... am I still going to be around? Is my job at threat? I've been a star for 20 years doing my job, and now I'm going to get an advanced analytics algorithm doing it for me. How bad is that, right? So there is that all those myths and those fears have to be debunked, and there is a need to have a lot of dialogue to win over them. And if that part doesn't happen, it's very difficult for companies to move forward. There have been examples where I visited a company, they had installed those dashboards, and after a few weeks, the dashboards were facing the wall rather than being utilized because the workers hadn't been put on board, and therefore they were thinking that this was spying on their activity.
Alpesh, a bit of a curveball question here. I mean, with everything you talked about, really it's Industry 4.0, augmenting workers with technology, you end up redesigning the job. You talk about having conversations. What if we were to take it further back and redesign the education system or even perhaps the education culture so that the future managers already know that this is the world of tomorrow?
Yeah, and I think, again, over here, if we look at various countries, I think Singapore is doing, I think, quite a lot already. But it is what you've highlighted is extremely important, is the mindset that as technology is going to keep evolving, jobs are going to change, and it's very important for managers, leaders, as well as for supervisors and the frontline to understand that the job in which they enter today will be different in 5 years and in 10 years, and it will require reskilling. There's actually maybe a few numbers that are interesting. We conduct with our global institute a number of studies on, you know, where digitization is going to lead in terms of jobs. And I think everyone knows that automation, of course, can happen. Yeah. Over 50% of work activities can be automated. But in terms of jobs, it's only 5% of the job that can be fully automated. Mm. Right? So 50% of activities that compose part of your day-to-day job, but only 5% of the jobs are fully automatable. Mm. The more interesting bit is that even overall by 2030, you have a number of jobs that are replaced by automation, net more new jobs get created. So net-net, the story is good. It's not that we are going to face a huge job losses due to automation, but the most important bit is that retraining, reskilling, job redesign needs to take place. Otherwise, of course, that good story will not happen. And in Singapore, it means 800,000 workers would need the retraining. And that's where, again, a program like IHCI, where companies are able to start identifying what particular jobs need to be redesigned and how do they need to be redesigned in order to be future-proof, are extremely important. And those jobs can be frontline. We've done it for supervisors, and for some companies it was also quality engineers, and they had a certain amount of activities. Sometimes even for quality engineers, the activities were automated up to 73% because data was flowing automatically, but all of a sudden we were able to redesign the job, and for the quality engineer it was actually much better. They felt that rather than running after data on some machine, they now had the data at their fingertips and they could go on to much better and higher value-add activities. So their job got better as well.
Well, that's good to hear. We're speaking to Alpesh Patel, who is partner and leader, Digital Capability Centres, Asia Pacific for McKinsey & Company. So I just want to know then, I mean, you were just giving us a really good example then. I don't know if you can mention any names or give us examples of companies that have done this really successfully.
Yeah, of course, I can mention a few examples. I think one of the companies is a small and medium company in the precision engineering sector. So they, you know, are manufacturing parts for the aerospace industry as well as the marine industry. Before joining the IHCI, they planned to purchase additional machines because they thought that they had to meet increased customer demand. But actually, they didn't have reliable data on machine performance. So they basically, throughout, you know, as you highlighted, there is an 8-week diagnostic and pilot that we call the Enabler program, during which they've installed some IoT kits to sensorize the equipment. And as they collected the data, they were able to find out that actually, if they were doing some small tweaks to the process, to their process and attending the equipment at the right time, they would be able to increase their performance by over 140% in productivity.
Wow.
And that basically frees a lot of capacity without the need to buy equipment. And if you don't buy equipment, you can spend this money on other things like retraining people. Because, of course, once they've installed the kits, they need to get people to understand how to use it. And that basically means the shop floor supervisor needs to be fully on top of how to read the information, what to make out of it, and then drive the problem-solving activity with the frontline so that they can come with suggestions on how to make further changes to the process. So we redesigned the job for the shop floor supervisor, and he basically said, I was flying blind before, and now it's all of a sudden it's as if I have everything, and I can really see how to further improve the productivity of the company. And you end up with people that are far more motivated.
Yeah. What you talked about, sorry to cut in, Alpesh, what you talked about, this kind of great job satisfaction in this whole Industry 4.0 paradigm, do you have a personal outlook on when we can see a more broad-based job satisfaction, a more broad-based sweet spot, so to speak?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I think it boils down to, ultimately, adoption at scale for Industry 4.0. If we look at it, I've mentioned earlier, 74%, this was the numbers last year, of companies are stuck in what we call this pilot trap, right? So they are not able to successfully scale.
Yeah.
The whole secret is effectively being able to transform the company and adopt this Industry 4.0, the most relevant Industry 4.0 use cases and technology within the organization. Then those companies, and they are starting to be numerous, but we don't yet have big number of companies. In those companies, you can see that the worker satisfaction is extremely high. And there are examples worldwide. I think the World Economic Forum has this recognized 54 quote-unquote lighthouses that are doing this well worldwide. There are two or three in Singapore. And then through the IHCI program, 47 companies have participated, and we feel are now on their way to get there. You don't get there in 8 weeks, of course. There is a whole follow-up of 2 years that those companies that have taken the Enabler program will get, so that we hope that after those 2 years, they reach that status of having adopted the Industry 4.0 at scale and are a better workplace. The signs are very good, because where we run the pilot, the satisfaction is definitely much higher.
Wow, really puts things in perspective. We've been speaking with Alpesh Patel, partner and leader at Digital Capability Centers Asia Pacific, McKinsey and Company. Alpesh, thank you so much for taking the time. Take care and stay safe.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.